This episode of Enough is brought to you by Instacast for iOS. I really hope you're still not using iTunes to listen to our shows. The podcast features built into iOS aren't really that great. Like, for example, you can't download shows, most shows over an hour, over 3G. Instacast by Vimedio is the answer to all of your podcasting problems. It's got everything you want from a podcast player, and then some. It shows all of our artwork great, and it really blows them up nicely to show on your lock screen when they're playing. You can skip forward and back 30 seconds by just tapping the forward and previous buttons. It has some fantastic features. You can refresh everything, all of your subscriptions, really quickly with a pull to refresh motion. I really think you should check it out. I think you'll love it. It actually feels like how podcasting should be on iOS. You know, listening to your podcast, it feels like it's part of the built-in functionality. You can find out more at vimedio.com/Instacast. And of course, there'll be a link in the show notes. It's only $1.99 on the App Store. And just before we start this week's episode, just one last thing while I've got you here. We've recently launched a new show, or brought a new show into the 70 Decibels Network, and that's the Mics on Mics podcast. It's from Mike Vardy of Vardy.me and Michael Schechter of abettermess.com. A couple of great guys who I really respect and love working with and have done some stuff with before. They do a podcast all about productivity. It's a really good show, so good that I wanted to have it as part of the network. I think if you listen to Enough, you'll really enjoy this show. So go check them out. It's at 70decibels.com/mics on mics. That's MikesOnMics. So let's get on with Enough.
Good. Well, I guess it's afternoon, Mike, but to listeners, it might be morning or evening or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Hi.
Hello.
I think we're both pretty punchy today.
Yeah.
So the next several episodes will probably be
bonkers.
Hopefully full of laughter and such. In preparation for this, I'm putting on my emergency clown nose. Mm-mm.
Thank you.
Available at emergencyclownnose.com. Don't leave home without one. and that's a plug for a client of mine, by the way. And you should buy an emergency clown nose. Yeah, I'm wearing it. I really am. I have a red nose on.
In the show notes now then.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan. You see, this is, as a matter of fact, we should just do like an all plug episode. Where, you know, we just say you want us to plug your product, make a $25 or higher donation to the 70 Decibels Network, and we will plug your product on an all plug Enough. How many listeners do you think we would lose if we did something like that?
All of them.
So the funny thing about these emergency clown noses is that they actually come in multiple colors, including brown.
Great.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you got the joke. And you want to know what's funny? All of the bottles say emergency clown nose, except for the one that's brown, which is emergency brown nose. Oh, well. In any case, I digress. So today, we had it was a listener who asked us about this to discuss, we talk a lot about, keeping your air bare and all of this other stuff. What we don't, haven't really talked a whole lot about is data sets and kind of keeping that small. And I think that's an important and interesting topic because increasingly what's taking up space on our machines is not so much applications and menu bar items and things in our dock and things like that, but the data that those things create and contain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and this was submitted to us by faithful listener, Mr. Adrian Short. Thank you very much, Adrian, for submitting that to us over Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it is a really interesting topic and one I can't necessarily say I'm all that great at. There are certain data sets that I have on my Mac which I know are way, way too big, but I can't seem to.
So when you're saying datasets, do you mean like a type of file, like music files, or like are you talking about the amount of data you have in one application?
Yes, both. Right. I guess when I say data set, I'm thinking, well, because music files kind of are that now, right? I mean, it's, you know, gosh, I've got, you know, 40,000 songs in iTunes, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, 100,000, you know. I mean, it's that, you know, because there's an example of music files that actually, or something that fits both of those criterias, i.e. music files and things stored in iTunes, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But iTunes obviously can store much more than that. It can
movies,
store video.
Which would be the big one, I guess, right?
Right, exactly. Especially if they're HD movies, TV shows, especially if they're the HD version of the TV shows, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to kind of just let that stuff pile up. And for me, it's email. I'm just going to, isn't it interesting?
So what are you using then? You're not a Gmail user?
No, I don't use Gmail. Okay. Email's too personal to me to trust to a third party vendor. I have an IMAP based email account, and it has transitioned from a POP base from way back in the day. But I'm just going to give you an idea of what I'm talking about here about when I say that I know I have a problem here. So I just clicked on my email archive, and this is just my personal archive, not my... so I've got a personal IMAP account and a business machine methods IMAP account, and I have a separate archive for each, and all mail eventually ends up in the archive. Currently in my personal archive I have 27,218 messages.
Do you know what that isn't?
Minimal.
Yes, sir.
The earliest message in that archive folder is from December 16th, 1999.
I think you have a problem. Is this episode now become an intervention for you? Is that what I need to stage right now?
You may have found the point at which I need to eat my own medicine.
Yeah, right. So I think this episode's about to take a massive turn on its head. And I apologize to Adrian if we're about to not give him what he wants, but I now need to ask you a set of very important questions.
No.
Why are you doing this? Like, in all seriousness, this is not me. That sounded like it was a joke, but why do you have that amount of email? Like, what compels you to keep that? Wow, the roles have just reversed.
I know. Is this just bizarre? This is a perfect example of sentimental clutter. One of the things that that a lot of professional organizers will tell you, and there have been studies done on this, is in dealing with sentimental clutter, one of the reasons it's so difficult to get rid of is that we have a greater emotional bond with it, right? We have a greater emotional bond with this t-shirt that our kid made for us when they were in second grade, you know, and now they're adults, and, you know, we still have this t-shirt that we can't, you know, it's ugly and it's ratty, and there's no way we would ever wear it, but we can't get rid of it. Why? Well, because we have an emotional bond with it.
Mm-hmm.
This particular email I just looked at, I have an emotional bond with. And One of the tips that professional organizers and such will give you is that when dealing with sentimental clutter, have a friend come over and help. And have the rule be, you can't touch it. You can't touch this item. Because the moment that you touch something, the more that you form, the greater and stronger that emotional bond becomes. So every time you go to try to get rid of this thing, just picking it up and becomes that much harder, mm-hmm. right? And that you have a friend come over, have the friend pick these things up, show them to you one by one and say, where does this belong? What should we do with this? Do you really need this? What is it? You know, could you take a picture of this and have that be okay? An okay way to have that memory and get rid of the thing, right? And that it will be much easier if you're not touching it. Well, I just touched this email again. And it's too... she wasn't a girlfriend, but she was someone who I was rather close with for a time. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, had these long emails back and forth that meant a lot to me, especially during a time when I was going through a particular painful period. My wife had just left, fairly recently. And, she was in a difficult relationship herself and was kind of at the tail end of it. And we really leaned on each other for support. And that was very helpful to me. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. Here's, another one, December 17th, 1999. Okay. Now I've touched it, right? Here's this back and forth exchange during that same time period. Oh, look, here's my AMP radio registration code.
Your what?
AMP radio. It was an old internet radio application for Mac OS 8 or 9.
So do you have, like, is email your big guilty pleasure here? Do you have other data sets that you either keep... too much of, or maybe not enough of, I mean, like, some people would say, for example, when I say that I don't keep any local copies of the podcasts once they're published, like I delete the GarageBand file and I delete the MP3s from my system. Some mm-hmm. people think that's mental, like I should be keeping a backup of that. But, mm-hmm. As I've always said, once it's out there, and it's out there, and I, after a couple of days, I know there's no critical flaw, like you haven't swore and I haven't bleeped it out, that sort of thing. Once that's out there in the world, I feel personally there's no point in me keeping it, because it's out there. If one of our hosts explodes, there are probably someone in the world might have a copy of the episode, or it's gone forever. Such is life, is the way that I look at that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
because otherwise I have a potentially infinitely expanding need for space, which I don't want. So I think that in regards to the podcast, I keep that data set very small, like unnecessarily small in some people's eyes. Do you have any that are like that, as well as the email being ridiculously large, Pat?
Yeah, it is ridiculously large. Well, and I haven't, that's just my personal account, right? So clicking on the archive, and not to not answer your other question, I'll get to it. But clicking on my machine methods archive here, that also goes back to 1999. December 22nd, and that's 8,890 messages.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. There is zero reason for me to keep most of that stuff. I mean, really, anything more than a year old, I probably will never need to find again. But and maybe I could just, take my current backup, of my mail folder, clone it, and then delete it, knowing that I could always restore that stuff at a later date. Yeah, there's lots of ways I could and should deal with this, but just haven't and can't. And it's really that there's no cost to it for me. Right? Mail isn't running any slower. I can click on archive and all of that stuff is there. It counts it up in a matter of seconds and I can scroll through very quickly. Oh, here we are 2006. Oh, here we are 2011. Oh, here we are 2010. You see what I'm saying? I can get to anything very quickly. And here, let me search for something, say from that friend I just spoke of. Oh, there it is. Boom. And now I have every email that she's ever sent me. Boom. I mean, mail is ridiculously fast once it runs its, algorithms or whatever against all of that data.
And mail is ridiculously fast after the hour it takes to start up.
No, it doesn't.
You know my problem with mail. You know I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows that by now. And I jest because I hate it so much.
Yeah. I mean, but I just don't have that problem. Look, I just quit it, and I just relaunched. I just clicked the relaunch button. It's already up. I don't have that same problem as you. I don't know why. I also have checking for like SSL certificates and things like that. So before I can start using it, I get these two pop-up boxes telling me that it's an unsigned certificate, blah, 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 blah. And I click through those. But even still, that adds 2 seconds to whatever the other 2 seconds it takes to start up. So it starts up fast for me. Okay. Getting back to your question, are there other things that I'm just like, nope, delete, get rid of, buy, sure. The way I have my Dropbox organized, my Dropbox folder, is that I have I have a inbox folder. So everything that goes into Dropbox starts off in the inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something I'm working on, and I save it to the inbox. I download this stuff, and I want to save it. Okay, great. Save it to the inbox. And then I go through that inbox and organize things on a regular basis. Similar to kind of the GTD idea, is that about once a week I go through that inbox and I organize things. And I, at that point, start deciding, okay, yep, need to keep that. Nope, don't need to keep that. Don't need to keep that. Okay, need to keep that. Like, for instance, all of the text files that contain the show notes that I do. I toss those for the very, very much the same reason that you toss the episodes, right? I figure, A, that stuff is out there in the world. I don't need to keep it. B, we've got a copy of it up on the shared page that we use to organize the podcast and Backpack, so I can always get it from there. See, I can always just go directly to the episodes and copy and paste that stuff if I really needed it.
Yeah, exactly. There are some things where you can allow them to live in the cloud. And I think that might be what Adrian was potentially looking at. I don't know. And Adrian, please get in touch if we've not even nearly answered your question, which I think there is a strong possibility of. But I mean, the way that I look at a lot of this stuff now is I try and work out what can live in the cloud and what can live on the machine. And there are a lot of things that I don't consider to be critical that I think can live on the cloud.
Yeah. The only thing I would say to that is that maybe you want to consider, because the cloud is not necessarily always 100% reliable, services do kind of go under and do so quickly. And we covered this on a fairly recent episode where we talked about backing up your cloud and such. I really like the idea of actually having a couple of various offsite locations. If you have the wherewithal to do so. Just like as much as I love and believe in Dropbox, I make a regular backup of my Dropbox folder to a different offsite location. And the reason being, and of course, as a local folder stored on my Mac, it also gets backed up as part of my regular in-house backup as well. But the stuff in Dropbox is important enough to me that if tomorrow Dropbox decided to shut down its servers or it had a massive explosion and, you know, lost everything, I would still have another copy somewhere.
Yep.
Right. And so I would say, if anything, it's okay to trust the cloud as long as you diversify there as well. Right? In the same way that everyone should have at least three backups, two on-site, one off. I think the same kind of rationale kind of goes to the cloud, that everything you have in the cloud should have at least one other cloud location and a local one if possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, backup. Yeah, there's plenty of data sets that I probably could reduce greatly. At some point, I really should go through Yojimbo.
Because that's just a bucket, right? That's like an ever-expanding bucket that you don't delete. You know, the same, you know, how Evernote would be for somebody like Brett. It's just this massive thing that grows and grows and grows, which does live in the cloud, but also duplicates, I assume, duplicates locally. Evernote does.
And same as Dropbox. Yojimbo's case is all local. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Dropbox doesn't count as the cloud, really, because, it lives there, but it also lives on your machine,
too. It also lives locally. All right. Yeah, yeah. And so it's important there. But the other thing, too, is just going through, like, so, for instance, in Yojimbo, I've got 2,256 items,
mm-hmm.
of various sorts. And Yojimbo, has notes and can store PDFs and can store images and can store bookmarks and can, but just looking at, say, the bookmarks, for instance, the bookmarks are 111 of that. All 111 of those I could throw up onto Pinboard. There's no reason for me to keep them in Yojimbo. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just a matter of me taking the time to sit down with a nice cup of tea and go through each one of these and add them to Pinboard and recreate my tags there and the whole nine yards, right? Pain in the butt, but once it's done, and I get to delete 100 items out of there, right? And same thing with, I probably have another 100 that are not bookmarks, but they have this other thing. What is it? What do they call it? It's Web Archive, right? So I could also, get rid of all the web archives and throw those into Pinboard, and thus delete them from Yojimbo. You know? Mm-hmm. So I could cut that down by a couple of hundred, and then I could probably go through and say, okay, all the recipes I have in here, well, I'm going to take all of those and I'm going to put them in Bazel, or I'm going to put them in, in some other place that makes more sense to have recipes than Yojimbo. I mean, things like that, it's just a matter of sitting down and doing the work and going through and saying, yes, I need this. No, I don't need this. Because I think it's really easy to just kind of let that stuff just build and build and build and never touch it, in the same way that I've done that with my mail. So here, we finally have found a point
you finally admitted that you're not as minimal as you like to make out to be. I think that's what we've learned. And that I'm currently buying Maximal Mac .com as you speak. Mr. Big email inbox. I would like to, I personally would like people to comment about this episode, and they can do that by going to 70decibels.com/contact, or you can find me or Pat on Twitter. I'm at iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, and he is at Patrick Roan. That's easy to, enough to spell. You definitely know how to spell that, but it's P-A-T-R-I-C-K-R-H-O-N-E. And also, Adrian, I explicitly ask for your feedback on this, because I would like to know if we even got close to what you wanted us to talk about, and maybe we could revisit this after getting some feedback.
Yeah, and please be gentle on me, folks. I'm freely admitting that this is a problem, and I know it falls down from everything I normally preach and teach here on Enough, and I struggle with this stuff just like everybody else. The things that, as I've said many, many times before, I'm no guru here. I'm simply a student of this stuff, asking questions. And the questions that I ask you are, trust me, not nearly as difficult as the questions I regularly have to ask myself. Right?
Yeah.
And this is one of them, right? This is one of those questions I really have to ask myself. Like, how far back do I really need to keep my email? I mean, as it stands right now, let's see, if I were to just go back through and get rid of everything before January of 2010, so that's 2 years and some change, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I were to hit the delete key right now, I would delete 15,540 messages.
That's a lot of messages.
And it's that easy, right? It's just as easy as hitting the delete key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can do it. I can't do it. I can't do it right now.
Don't do it right now. Don't do it just because we had this episode.
I can't do it right now.
Don't subject yourself to that.
I want to. You know, I really do, but I just don't think I can. I can't bring myself to do it. See, this is hard, folks. This stuff is really, really hard. It's emotionally hard. And I don't pretend to be any better at it than anyone else. And certainly I'm not here. And I need to be, and I want to be. But it's not always that easy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Honestly.
So I think that's a good takeaway from today.
Indeed.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for not laughing too much at me.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Michael.
Yes.
We'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.